Blog Talk Radio.
You know that you are defeated in the beautiful, precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus. He still got his heel on your neck. Praise the Lord and welcome to Fire, the gospel experience that is dedicated to honoring the true and only living God. Now is the time, beloved, to let our minds, bodies, and souls be renewed and refreshed in our relationship with our great, wonderful and magnificent God, our Father, and his precious and beautiful Son, and our Prince of Peace, our wonderful Messiah and Savior, none other than Jesus the Christ. Jesus the Christ is unashamedly and unapologetically declared to be the only Redeemer, the only acceptable Lamb of God. He is the only chosen one with the keys of life, death, hell, the grave, and to our beautiful eternal life. He is our only hope, children of God, and light for a lost, dark, and dying world. I am so excited and happy to be back with you again. I'm your purpose and power-driven host, Ron E. Jefferson, and I'm here to bring you the most uplifting spiritual soul inspiration, as well as some of the most anointed, hear me now, gospel music that has ever been made and have ever been played. Fire, the gospel experience will light, ignite, and fan those flames that's in your spirit, man, woman, boy, or girl, so that you can be that victorious believer in Jesus the Christ. Hallelujah, amen. Because listen, God is not a respecter of persons. He's just looking for a humble heart to worship and fellowship with him in spirit and in truth. We will be embracing for y'all spiritual uplift as always. We're going to share with you words that's going to motivate you, that's going to move you up to reach higher and to live that life in full assurance of our Lord Jesus Christ. In the book of John 17 and 14, we read our Lord Jesus is praying to our Heavenly Father about his earthly ministry concerning his disciples and us also, that he has prepared us with his word, and that we all should take God's word and accomplish the great commission to evangelize the whole wide world with his word. But we must remember to be not infiltrated or diluted and compromising and keeping ourselves unspotted from worldly influences, which is a very familiar scripture of verse. We have to keep ourselves unspotted from the world, for we are told very pointedly to trust in the Lord. Amen. Listen, you all in for a wonderful time in the Lord, as always. My special guest is here, homeboy from Detroit. Yes, the D, back in here again. Gospel artist, man of integrity and word of God, on a mission to sing the message of the gospel. Man of God, Carl B. Phillips is here, and we're going to share his story. We're going to play his music. You're going to swear up and down. It's going to be a Carl B. Phillips gospel concert right here on Fire the Gospel Experience, because yes, 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 that's just what it is. And then a little later in the broadcast, we're going to bring First Lady, woman of God, Rhythm of Gospel Award winner, actress, and radio personality, Deshaun Moore, is going to be here and break bread of inspiration with us. So right now, why don't you just call your family members, your friends. You can call your neighbors. You can call somebody that's in your spirit right now and let them know that Brother Ron E. Jefferson is indeed back on the radio, back in the internet airwaves, to honor our God, to lift him high, 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 and higher in praise. We've already had prayer. Thank you, Holy Spirit God, for lighting the fuse. That's going to set the internet and the radio airwaves on Holy Ghost sanctified fire.
Purpose under the heaven. If God could do it last summer, then I know he can do it again. Define?
I know what God did last summer. I'm not worried about this season I'm in. For if God could do it last summer, I know he can do it again. I know he can do it again.
I know what God did.
I'm not worried. If he could do it, I know
he can do it.
Oh, to everything there's a season and a purpose for everything.
Thank you.
Yes, hallelujah. Yes, Lord. Nobody but you, Jesus. Sounds of my special guest. Man of God, Carl B. Phillips is here in the house. You talking about a man of God. International gospel recording artist, songwriter, and producer from the Motor City. Talking about Detroit. You already know. So without further ado, it gives me great pleasure to introduce to some and then to present to everyone else. Man of God, gospel artist, Carl B. Phillips is here in the house on Fire, the Gospel Experience. Yes, he is. Oh, yes, he is. And we are excited and happy to have this man of God here. Welcome to Fire, the Gospel Experience, Carl B. Phillips.
God bless you, Ron E. Jefferson. It is such an honor to be on Fire, the Gospel Experience. I feel that the song goes just like fire shut up in my bones. Ooh.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Now. Help them understand what that fire is really all about. Man of God, Carl B. Phillips, man, I just want you to know I'm always excited to have another brother on the broadcast. We talked a little earlier about how many sisters have responded so well and so greatly to this Fire Gospel Experience ministry. And it seems like in certain spiritual atmospheres, activities, and events that the sisters are stepping out and they, you know, are requiring for us brothers to kind of step up our game, so to speak. So I'm happy to have you here with us, man. I'm letting you know if you got some good brothers out there that are tuned in with Jesus and got a ministry, send them my way. Send them to me.
Most definitely. I know a lot of good brothers out here doing music, doing ministry, doing a lot of great things for the Lord that I could definitely send over your way. Most definitely.
Hey, man, I love it because it's all about kingdom building. It's all about kingdom collaboration. Why don't you so kindly, sir, introduce yourself to the listening audience and just from whatever point in life that you'd like to start, share with us how this Christian journey began for you.
Wow. So, you know, this year will be my 45th year of being saved, 45 years. Being
Amen.
Saved, being at the same church, serving under the same ministry, choir director, a trustee in the church. My journey started off back when I was in elementary school, early years of high school. James Cleveland had a song that said, Jesus is the best thing that ever happened to me. And I remember one Sunday morning hearing that song on the radio as I was getting ready to go to church. And I'm like, I want more out of my walk with Christ than what I have. So I began to search and began to talk to people, like, what does it mean to be saved? What can I do differently to be saved? And ended up at went to a meeting one night and my heart wasn't right. Something got a hold of me. So what ended up happening for me. Ended up getting baptized, ended up being filled with the Holy Ghost, and been running for Jesus ever since then.
Amen. That's what I'm talking about. We running for Jesus, and we not going to turn around. We not going to take no steps back. We going to trust in Holy Spirit God to just continue to fill us with inspiration as we read and study God's word and just let God have his way. So the singing ministry, at an early age, I take it, that you realized that you had a voice that you could do something with?
You know, it's interesting. I always believed I was a great singer, but people told me that I wasn't. So, I've been laughed at. I've been told to pantomime, and I've a lot of those type of things. But there's a movie out that's called Florence Foster Jenkins, and one of the things that she said in the movie that stuck with me, she was back in the early 1900s. She was an opera singer who was a rich lady who really couldn't sing, but she had the money to pay for stuff. And so she did a concert at Carnegie Hall, and the critics hated her. But she made a statement on her dying bed in the movie. She said, people may say that I can't sing, but they'll never say that I didn't sing. And that saying stuck with me, because a lot of times you're told what you can't do. You know, you're reminded, you know, you're not good enough for this, you're not good enough for that, but do it. and just give God the glory out of it.
I love it.
So I started at an early age, you know, singing in choirs, like around 11 years old. I'm pushing close to 50 years now of being a part of gospel music. Just singing in local choirs, just serving. I've sung in my high school gospel choir, sung in my church gospel choir. I was a part of Donald Belts, who's one of the major choir directors of the city, sung in his youth choir. I've had a chance to sing with Dr. Dorinda Clark Cole in one of her choirs. So I just served and sang, and God just began to open up opportunities for me.
Amen. I remember Donald Vales. I certainly remember Donald Vales. Oh, man, I grew up listening to Donald Vales, man, along with so many other great gospel artists coming out of Detroit. The list goes on and on. We're talking about the Winers. We're talking about the Clark Sisters. We're talking about Commissions. Lord Jesus, we had such a powerful influence in Detroit.
Yeah. You know, and the great thing about Detroit, I'm appreciative now for the new generation that's coming along. I was blessed last night to be a part of a session for a young man by the name of Eric Deon Taylor. He was a part of my first project. He did a live recording last night. I'm now producing different artists that are coming out with music. A lot of Detroit artists, Larry Callahan, Darius Swyman, a lot of these artists out of Detroit are putting out some really great music. So I'm just glad to see the traditional gospel music coming out of Detroit continue.
Hey, man, that is so true, man. I am just excited about it, man, because this is what I try to tell people. I was born in a little small city where I am now, Pine Bluff, Arkansas. I think the population is about maybe 40,000, and it seems like a little Detroit. Yes, there's crime here. Yes, there's high unemployment in certain circles, similar to Detroit, but at a lower scale. And just like Detroit, Brother Carl, you never hear the good things that are coming out of Detroit. You never hear about the good things that are coming out of Pine Bluff. And there are wonderful people in both of these cities that get overshadowed because the media is always seem like focusing in on the negative. That's why it's up to you and I and fellow believers to be a light in this dark world so that we can offset some of that negativity. What would you say about being a Christian in times like these? What would you say is the most crucial thing for us as believers to effectively fulfill our calling as believers in our Lord Jesus Christ?
Well, you know, these times are the time that the Bible spoke of when it speaks of perilous times. Men are lovers of themselves. So as believers, this is a time that we need to be prepared for the soon coming King. I mean, just being real, because we're seeing things come to pass that we never thought we would see. But a lot of things that are happening is the Bible being fulfilled. So this is not the time to give up. This is not the time to throw in the towel. This is not the time to turn your back on God, but this is the time to draw closer to him so that as his return is drawing near. You know, no man knows the day nor the hour, but if the Lord were to come tonight, would you be prepared to go back with him?
Come on. Amen. Come on, good brother. Amen. I love when you gospel artists just bring word with y'all testimony. That lets folks know y'all ain't just up there singing, but y'all are actually just students and disciples of our Lord Jesus Christ, studying the Bible. So it's like, hey, I'm not just up here singing, but this singing ministry is actually just a part of my Christian living. So let me ask you this, good brother Carl B. Why are us men so stubborn to give our lives to Christ? It seems like we wait till we're on our deathbed, something tragic happened, or we're facing some sort of criminal prosecution before we will finally turn to give our lives to Christ. You know, if we meet a pretty girl, she goes to church. If you're not saved, we'll go to church because we're really just doing it to try to get to know a young lady or whatever. What is it that we as men of God, what is it that we can do to continue to demonstrate to our brothers that have not been converted, that may be sitting on the fence, anything that we need to be mindful of when we're in their presence?
I think the thing we need to be mindful of, it's important to show that we can be submissive to the Word of God. Because a lot of times we as men, as you said, we're stubborn. We don't want nobody telling us nothing. We don't want to be submissive to a pastor who can instruct us in the Word of God. I'm being honest. You know, a lot of men, like, I don't want another man telling me what to do. I'm grown.
Yes. You're telling the truth.
So the thing is, learn how to be submissive. And, I mean, let's be honest. Learn how to allow somebody to correct you through the Word of God. Don't come at me with an opinion, but come at me if the Word of God says that I'm supposed to go left and I'm going right. Show me where the Word of God can show me where that says that I need to go left. So again, be submissive to someone, and then be submissive to God. And then also, sometimes you may have to study the Bible for yourself and ask God to open your understanding to what the Word of God is saying. You know, if you're not getting it, God is able to. I'm sure you've read scriptures over and over again, but one day you read it and then, like, this finally makes sense.
It does. It really does. And one of the things that I've noticed, I've been blessed. I've authored two books. The first one is predominantly for the ladies and those that love them, which is entitled Listen to the Men, Think for Yourself, sharing some good gospel practical truth about living in this world in a Christian way. And then my second book is basically for the men and those that love those men, which is entitled The Man Code, Being a Man of Purpose on Purpose. And in both of those books, I highlight the strategic attack on men in the family, in the community, in the neighborhoods, on the job, because once the man is displaced, then it's almost like in the old Bible days, if there's nobody to protect the home, and in our days too, then a burglar or someone could just come in and just hold the whole house hostage and take the spoil.
Right.
And this is what the devil has done. So I have just noticed, I didn't grow up with a father. There are so many men that grew up as little boys that did not have father mentoring, that did not have that being fed into their spirit like Elijah's fed into Elisha's spirit. So consequently, we are subject to generations and communities of boys that are raising boys. So when, and I'm saying this to be honest with the sisters, so when you hear a man say, I don't want no man, no pastor, no preacher trying to run my house, that's because we have not seen the value in one another. Because Brother Carl B., if you got it going on, I'm taking notes. I ain't hating on you. How can we disarm our old mindset in seeing brothers as a threat as opposed to a brother being a compliment, a companion, and a friend in time of need?
I think that comes from building a relationship with someone and then allowing someone, so as the young people say, hold you accountable. A lot of times we as men don't want to be held accountable. It may not be a pastor. It may not be an elder of the church, but it could be your best friend, a male best
That's
friend
right.
that could hold you accountable and say, hey, Ron, what is it that you're doing? You know, what's going on, man? Why are you doing it this way? No, man, you need to check yourself. Have
Thank
someone
you.
That you can be held accountable to.
We sure don't like to be checked, Brother Carl, but you know what? A part of manhood is really being able to take an honest look at yourself, even if you have to do it in the privacy of your own space, in your own home, in your own room, because we get so thin-skinned about public opinion sometimes. We won't even consider what's being said if it's not the right place, time, or space. So what I'm suggesting and what I hope you listeners are hearing me and Brother Carl be saying is it's okay to have certain doubts as long as we are about the business of going and finding the solution so that we don't have to live under the cloud and the umbrella of uncertainty. Because a big part of maturity for men and women is discovering who you are and getting with the right information. And we are soliciting to each one of you that the very right information is found in the Word of God. Carl B., we started this Fire Gospel Experience off with your first song, I Know What You Did Last Summer. Can you share with us a little bit about the origin of that song? Because we're going to play your new project, Good Enough, in just a minute. But share with us a little bit about how that song came to be. Is there a testimony, inspiration, and a story behind that song entitled, I Know What You Did Last Summer?
So the song is called I Know What God Did Last Summer. And it was born out of one of the worst seasons of my life. I was recently divorced. I was in an apartment. I was on my own for the first time. I left my mother's house into marriage. I was in an apartment, didn't have furniture. I called the Roaches. They were my roommates. And it was like a dark season of my life. And in that season, God just dropped that title, I Know What God Did Last Summer. If he could do it last summer, I know he can do it again. And out of that, I just went into Ecclesiastes, which says to everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heavens, a time to kill, a time to heal, a time to break down, and a time to build, a time to weep, a time to laugh, a time to mourn, and a time to dance. You know, life to me is broken down in seasons. You have a winter season, you have a summer season, you have a spring season, and you have a fall season. And each season brings something different into your life. So depending on where you are in life, you could be in a winter season where everything is cold. But, you know, growing up in Michigan, we go through all the seasons. The winter season is that really rough season, but you can be encouraged that a summer season is coming. Again, if God could do it in the summer of 2020, he can do it in the summer of 21. Even though we got to still go through the fall, the winter, and spring, but God can still do it again. So that's how the song was born, simply out of that season that I was in my life.
Amen. You testifying, good brother. Good brother, you testifying. You tell us some show no gospel truth. And then, listen, listeners, we want to let you know, when you go through those seasons, guess what will happen? You'll find out that God really is good enough. Hallelujah. That's what we're talking about. He's good. He's good. He is so good.
Life and death are in the power of the tongue. I allow death to be spoken over my destiny until I realize I'm good enough for God. The more I tried to please people, the less I felt fulfilled. Life, I didn't feel good enough, smart enough. I didn't love hard enough. Then one day, I'm good enough for God. Even when my love isn't enough, even on those Tuesdays when my world is going crazy, he never gives up, turns his back on me. He's always loving me. I'm good enough for God. Lord, I thank you for loving me, even when I didn't love myself. I have my brother Steve Anderson here. Help me out, Steve.
The love from my heart was torn apart by those that I thought loved me. Cried many nights, I didn't want to fight, I just wanted love freely. God kept holding me, keeping me, he never let go of me.
Help me realize that I am good enough.
You are listening to Fire, the gospel explosion where the praises are going up and the worries are going away. Playing for you the best and the newest gospel music on the planet and the most inspiring encouragement under God's heaven. Keep tuning in and bless your family, your friends, and your coworkers by telling them about Fire.
Yes, Lord, that fire that burns down deep in your soul comes from relationship with God the Father, the Son, our Lord Jesus, and Holy Spirit God. It is just a beautiful burning sensation that carries us through every situation. And, good Brother Carl B., it allows us the vision to be able to see in our spirit what we can't see with our eyes and sometimes even with our emotions, that we really are good enough for God. Amen.
Amen. You know, it's interesting because especially as I got older, I started going to that stage of like, you know, can I still do this? Am I good enough for this? I start reflecting on how through life people will tell you what they think you should be or what they think you're not good enough to be. You know, in my job, I was told that I wasn't good enough to be a manager. Your relationships, you know, people tell you that you're not good, you know, that you're loving with all of your heart, but your love isn't enough for them. So those things can play on you mentally. But you get to, I got to a point where like, you know what, I'm now a manager of my company. You know, I was talking earlier about singing, you know, I'm out here singing internationally for people telling me that I shouldn't, and I'm not a good singer. All those things are kind of just running through my mind. And I'm like, you know what, Carl, you're good enough for God. For what everybody else said you weren't good enough for, you were still good enough for God. And the other side of that, Brother Ron, is that a lot of times we feel because of mistakes that we made, we're not good enough for God anymore.
Lord,
I mean, I'm being honest, you know. You did something wrong. You did something like I was talking one time, like whatever you did last night, you're still good enough for God today. But the scripture talks about morning by morning, new mercies I see. Great is God's faithfulness unto me. So you have to get that concept. Okay, I messed up. Yeah, I own it. I did something I had no business doing, but God is still able to forgive you, and God is still able to love you.
Hallelujah. We hold on to things far longer and way beyond God's grace. God has said in his word that if we repent from our heart and mean it and then turn away from that thing, and yes, we struggle, sometimes we get weak, God said, I'll take that thing and I'll throw it in the deepest sea of forgiveness, and then we'll put on some scuba gear and then try to go see if we can swim and find that thing so that we can feel sorry all over again. But ongoing remorse is not a sign of true faith, because if we believe that God is a forgiving God, listeners, and I have to tell myself, we don't pull out things if we honestly believe God has let it go. God knows who we are. He knows that we have our times, good times, and our challenging times. He knows we go through our hills and mountaintop where we can shout and praise and give God glory and raise our hand, but he also knows that sometimes we may have tendency to slide down into dark valleys where we need God's grace and God's forgiveness. So it is a beautiful thing to know that we are good enough. Brother Carl B. Phillips, I need your help. I'm on these Facebook groups and Christian Facebook groups, and I'm going to share some things that have just gotten my attention, not just for the sake of controversial discussion, but for the sake of, I know that the devil strategically tries to sway people's thinking little at a time. And if we don't shine discretionary spiritual light on our conversations, on what we read and what we subject our minds to, we may find ourselves on a slippery slope. I'm reading from this one particular group on Facebook, Single Black Christian Connection, where a young lady, I'm just going to call her by her first name, Tamara, because I'm not trying to put her down or embarrass her or anything. I asked her to tune in because sometimes when we speak, people will try to make it like we don't know what we're talking about, that that's just your opinion. not realizing that we have committed our lives to studying God's word, not realizing, Brother Carl, that when the word says, let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus, that we are being used instrumentally to speak from the mind of Christ and not so much of our own. But this is what the post said. It says, many believe that God-ordained marriages are just for Christians. However, Scripture doesn't teach that God instituted covenant unions in Genesis for all mankind. I'm sorry, it says God instituted covenant unions in Genesis for all humans, all mankind. So I have often wondered why Christians believe that covenant union between those that aren't believers aren't in God-ordained covenant union. As it seems, the unbelievers have shown to be very meaningful, long-lasting, till death do us part marriages. What do you believe is the reason that unbelievers are getting married and staying married? Now, that blew me away, Brother Carl, because they shut that post down because one of the first things I did is I said, where are you getting your information from? Where are you getting information that says that unsaved folks, as far as I know, there's a majority of them are living together, shacking. They're not getting married. They're saying that this marriage is just a piece of paper, trying to move God completely out of that sanctified union. And then where's your statistics on their successful marriage rate? What would you say about a young lady, I guess she, you know, calling herself saved, Christian, on a Christian group in Facebook, saying that we need to take some instruction and some incentive from unbelievers on marriage? What do you think about that?
Well, you know, I mean, I'll be honest, I was saved and ended up getting divorced. But out of that situation, I had to grow in understanding what marriage was. And I don't think it was a saved, unsaved situation. I just think that as a man, there's parts of being married that I didn't understand, the responsibility of marriage. And that again, is not saved, unsaved. But to kind of address your point, the scriptures talk about being not being unequally yoked. It's important that the mate that you select in the church, out to church, can respect what it is that you do. I think the challenge that you run into, if a saved person marries an unsaved person, what happens when Saturday night you're trying to get ready for church and they want to go to the club?
Yeah.
Oh, how yeah. do y'all balance that out? You know, mm-hmm. But you want someone that's like-minded. You want someone that shares your dreams, that shares your goals. So that's the thing that I think we need to look at. The scriptures talk about marriage is honorable, the bed is undefiled, things like that. And that's saved or unsaved. It's still an honorable thing to do. I don't know if that answered your question or not, but I just think that you know, when it comes to marriage, it's not a saved or unsaved thing. It's you know, two people coming together, sharing the same values, sharing the same dream, and making it work. And honestly, marriage is work, saved or not saved.
Yeah.
It's work. You know,
yes,
to make it happen. You know, and I'm being transparent. A lot of that work, I didn't understand it as a man, what was involved in making a marriage work. So again, you got to make sure that going into the marriage, you understand what you're getting into, you know, from the male perspective and the female perspective. You got to understand mm-hmm. that the commitment that you're making to this person, save or not save, it's
yes,
a
sir.
Commitment, you know, it's a lifetime commitment that you have to make, you know. So again, I don't know if I'm addressing the question or not, but those are my thoughts.
No, it's perfectly fine. I just wanted to get some take beyond myself, because my argument to that was that's a potential slippery slope, because if the church, the reason that I designate the point of saved and unsaved is because the Bible has already declared that in the end times there'll be a great falling away, that many that confess a belief in Christ will leave the church. And it's a little leaven that leavens the whole lump, Brother Carl. The thing that I am concerned about is if we take our eyes off of what God said, and you even mentioned yourself, you said that we shall not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. That right there has made the separation between saved and unsaved. And If we go to the Old Testament, God said, don't marry those heathen nations because they are not believers. And my whole argument was that why would God, I understand he's the one that instituted marriage, but would God have some sort of approval of a marriage of unsaved folks when he's not even in relationship with them? His primary concern, first of all, is not their marriage. His primary concern is that they be saved, that they be redeemed, that they be restored. So I don't see how God can say, yeah, it's okay. I approve of your unsaved marriage. Yes, God is the one that created marriage. So marriage in itself is all good and it's all valid. But my thing was is that I don't think that we should turn and start looking to those that don't have a relationship with God and start believing that they have found a better way to do things, marriage, child rearing, whatever the case may be. I think that is potentially driving into a ditch, slowly heading toward some right. some trouble, some tragedy. That was my concern. That was all. I just wanted to get that out there.
Well, I can agree with your point of view on that because the relationship within the church is different than a relationship that's in the world, especially when the man is loving his wife as Christ loved the church. That's a different situation, you know.
Absolutely.
Inside the church, outside the church, you know, you're going to run into situations in marriage. You know, you're going to have them days that you don't want to be bothered. You know, you marry that 10, and then 10 years later, she's gained 20 pounds, and she's not that 10 anymore.
Or you
wake up one day, you know, your six-pack became a gut.
Yeah. Or say it became a 40-ounce, yeah.
Right. So, you know, it's work. But I think the difference within the church, you have the ability to if you can work through the issues, you have someone that's on the same page with you where you can pray together to make things work.
Amen. And then I'm mindful of the scripture that said the three-strand cord is not easily separated. And we know that three-strand cord is generally read in traditionally weddings. The three strands make up the groom, the bride, and God himself is not easily separated. So I think, and one of the reasons, now we talk about marriage, because I have, unfortunately, have gone through divorce myself, and I have discussed this on many different interview platforms from other hosts on their shows and on their showcases. And I think that there's a certain amount of transparency that is being withheld because, you know, when you meet someone and then you're attracted to that person, you're always putting your best foot forward. You always want to make sure that you're being seen in positive light, and then we have a tendency not to speak upon those aspects of ourselves that are not so warm, not so charming. I can recall on job interviews that they'll say, what are some of the things about yourself that need to be improved? And that's almost like a trick question because you say, if I need to improve this area, I might fool around and not get hired saying some things, you know, about myself that are not the best. But I think what it is that companies are willing to see how transparent about yourself that you're willing to be, because no one is perfect. Only one was perfect, and that's our Lord Jesus Christ. So I would just, you know, encourage people in relationships, it's best to be fully transparent as much as you feel comfortable with, to let a person know, hey, this is who I am, this is who I am, these are my pet peeves, these are what my likes and my dislikes, as opposed to someone getting involved with the image that you gave them. And then down the road, after some commitments are made, a significant other, marriage, and then those things have a way of finding their way to the surface anyway. And then you have to be kind of living with some regret. They might not be able to allow the marriage to survive. So, good brother, I just wanted to get your take on that. Go ahead.
I would add something else to kind of piggyback of what you're saying. Accept the person when they tell you who they are and don't try to change them to who you want them to be. That's very important. If I tell you that I'm not a morning person, Don't try to make me get up at 6 o'clock every morning to go walking with you. I'm not a morning person. I'm gonna be evil. I'm gonna do it, but I'm gonna be evil the rest of the day.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
But you learn to, you know. I think sometimes relationship, I'm gonna make them be this way. No, you're not. This is a human being with thoughts and feelings. So just want to throw that out there.
Amen. And this show, you know, my two books, like I said, is based on relationships. I've always been curious and investigative about discovering more about relationships. And I'll say this too, to the sisters that are listening to this broadcast, because a lot of sisters seem to say that we don't communicate, that we withhold our emotions, that we won't share where we are. But then brothers like myself, Brother Carl B., will get on Facebook and then we'll attempt and we'll try to speak and communicate. And then we get pushed back, man, and then we start getting bashed. It's almost like a no-win situation. If you remain quiet for the sake of peace and harmony, you get accused of not being open and not sharing and leaving women hanging emotionally. And then when we do speak, if they don't agree, then you get the contention and you get the confrontation. So is there anything that you would say to the Sisterhood Nation out there in terms of maybe having a more open ear for communication and maybe not jumping the gun? Because I understand, too, that, you know, sometimes we do carry baggage, men and women. And what can we do to try to have more effective communication, Brother Carl B.?
One of the things that they taught me in my job was to listen to understand. A lot of times, as humans, we listen to hear what we want to hear. You know, you'll come to me with a question and say, what do you think about blah, 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 blah. You already know the answer you want. But when I don't give that answer you want, then we got a problem in the relationship. Listen to understand what, because a lot of times, like you said, we as men, we're reluctant to speak, but when we do speak, listen to understand what we're saying. And if you're not understanding what we're saying, ask some probing questions. Well, what do you mean behind this? And then respect the answer that the man gives you. You know, that's the main thing. If a man says, well, I'm not feeling like doing this. Well, you never want to do blah, blah, blah. Okay, let me just do this to shut you up. But he's not going to be happy. You know what I'm saying? So learn to respect what he's saying. If he says, I'm not really into doing that right now, respect that. Okay, what do you feel like doing? Or, you know, again, listen to understand. That's the important thing.
Amen, amen, amen. Listen, we're going to continue on with this Carl B. Phillips mini concert right here on this Fire Gospel Experience, because I got one more question that's really, really, I think, imperative that we discuss, and it's in regards to communication in a very submissive way. Oh, Lord, did I say submission? Yeah, we're going to talk about that. But right now, here's man of God, gospel artist Carl B., letting you know that there is a great rain for every fire that needs to be put out. I ain't talking about that Holy Ghost fire. We're talking about those fires that the devil is trying to ignite in our lives. God has a great, great rain.
This is Carl B. Phillips, and I wrote a song to encourage those in a dry season. There's a cloud about the size of a man's hand on the horizon. Get ready for a great rain. Tell the story, James.
God told the prophet there would be no rain. Then after many days, God said he'll send the rain. The prophet prayed, but still no rain. Then on the seventh time, he heard the servant say, about the size of a man's hand, and it rained again. The prophet laughed, said, get ready, you ought to get ready, the rain is coming, come on and get ready. The prophet told the king, get up, eat and drink. He told the servant to go look at the sea. The first 6 times, there was nothing to report, but on the 7th time, he heard the servant say, about the size of a man's hand, sound of abundance rain. Ooh, I hear the sound of abundance rain. Yeah, 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 yeah. The sound of abundance of rain. Oh, there is a sound of abundance of rain. Oh, yeah, yes it is. Everybody get ready for the great rain. Get ready for the overflow. Get ready for the overflow. The floodgates are open and it's getting ready to rain. I hear a drip, drop, drip, 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 drop. Drip, drop. Drip, 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 drop. Drip, 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 drip.
What's going on? This is Jerry Royce Live Worldwide, a.k.a. the Batman from Charm City, Maryland, and you're listening to Fire, the Gospel Experience with Ron E. Jefferson, right here on Positive Power, XXI Christian Media.
Amen, amen. Don't you just love our God can use all of the elements that he created to be able to move in a very, very positive, uplifting, refreshing way in our life? He can use fire. Y'all know how much I love that burning sensation that deep down in our soul to move us forward and to higher heights. But also, he can open up the windows of heaven and pour down great rain of blessings. You're listening to a mini concert of my special guest, my homeboy from Detroit, talking about Carl B. Phillips is right here in the house. And Brother Phillips, what I want to ask you before I let you get out of here, and I want you to know you are certainly welcome to come back anytime you feel that fire burn in your spirit. You say, Brother Ron, come on now, bring me back. I'm ready. I'm ready. I got a burning sensation in my spirit, and God gave it to me. That's what we want, good brother. So I'm letting you know up front, you got a seat reserved on this platform. Don't even worry about it. But what I want to know.
I appreciate that, sir.
Yes, sir. Absolutely. I mean it. Hey, we Detroiters, we look out for each other. You already know that. My question is that there are many women out there who say that when it comes to submission, and some of that language has even been taken out of the marriage ceremony. They don't even use the word separation. I don't know what they're using now. It might be cooperation or understanding or whatever word they use to replace submission. They lack the understanding about what that means fully from a biblical perspective. But they'll say that, look, we'll submit to the man's leading if, oh, Lord, this is the catcher. This is the catch right here. if he's leading in the right way. And my supposition to that statement is it's like a catch right there, because if a woman disagrees with the man's leading, then he'll be accused of not leading properly. It's almost like it's a catch to that. So I have said before previous groups that women are willing to submit as long as they are in agreement, not respecting the head, that maybe God has spoken to the head of the house, just like God speaks to the pastor of the church, and then the pastor shares it with the congregation. Some women will just say, look, he ain't leading right when they disagree. How do you feel about this word of submission? Can you help us all understand the beauty behind how submission is really a plan of God?
Well, again, I go back to what I said earlier. If the head of the household is following Christ, and then the wife is following the head of the household as he's following Christ, there shouldn't be a problem with submission, because she understands that he's leading based on his following Christ. There's going to be disagreements. There's going to be different views of how to do things. But for me, you have to learn how to sit down and have that conversation. As I was saying before, learn to seek the understanding of what it is that they want to do. Because a lot of times, as the vision is going forth, we don't see the vision. We don't understand the vision.
That's true.
And you have to be careful in how you, I hate to put it this way, how you discourage a man. Because a woman can tear a man's dreams down. And let's be real, if you're not being supportive of that, there's someone out there that will be supportive. And you don't want to put your spouse in that position.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree with that. And I have also said, too, that if there seems to be this area, and I'm speaking to the ladies primarily with this particular comment, where you feel like that his leadership is questionable, hopefully you will find that out before the relationship goes too far. Because if you have doubts about a man's ability to lead properly, then you need to probably take a second look at this relationship and where it's going and how far you think it should go, because it will only create conflict if you have doubts about this man's ability. And then just see it, look for it in small ways. And then, like you said, Brother Carl B., communication is so crucial. It is so vital, so necessary. Be honest. Share what you feel, and then maybe the two can find common ground and remove misunderstanding, because one of the greatest weapons that our enemy uses is doubt, uncertainty, and misinformation, misunderstandings,
right,
to create conflict. Amen. So, brother, I just wanted to get your take on that, because whenever I try to share my opinion, I'm reduced to, that don't mean nothing. But you know what? Even the people where our Lord Jesus grew up, they downed him and said, isn't this Joseph, the carpenter's son? Now, he was doing all sort of miracles, but yet and still, when he came to his own birthplace, the Bible declares that he didn't do many miracles there because of their unbelief. So, ladies, trust God has given you the man that he wanted you to have, that you wanted to have. And even if there's some doubt, trust and believe. Let your faith be applied in ways that maybe you have not applied it before, and say, God, I'm going to trust that you have spoken to this man. You have given him some insight that hasn't been shared with me just yet. And watch and see God work through that God, man. Because if it's true, and I believe it is, good brother, if God told us husbands to love our wives, not girlfriend, not side piece, we ain't doing that, like Christ loved the church, then that means we're willing to sacrifice everything we have. So I'm going to say this, brother, that what submission really is just cooperation. It's not oppressive.
Right.
And yes, there have been men that have taken that and tried to beat sisters down with it. And we're not excusing none of that, because that's wrong and that's corrupt. But what submission does is it allows functionality to take place in the body of Christ and in our home. Because if Jesus himself submitted to the Father, the Bible declares that the servant is not greater than the master, that we can't outdo God. we need to follow his example, because guess what, ladies? The husbands are to be submissive to God. So there's submission that goes all the way around. And then if you look at it, all we're trying to do is just bless y'all socks off anyway. If you just let us do what we need to do, you'll find out that God put so much love in us for y'all that you won't never have to worry about nothing. We'll bless you with everything that we have, everything that we got, and everything that God is going to give us. Man of God, I thank you so much for joining us. I want you to know that my listeners, they're going to be so excited about this Carl B. Phillips concert, and then the words that you shared through this discussion, that they're going to want to continue to support you. So if you would be so kind as to share your booking information, because there may be concert promoters, pastors out there that are having events, they may call your name and want you to come and be with them. If you would share your booking information, also your social media platform, so my listeners can be your friends on Facebook, Twitter, Snapchat, Instagram, all of that. And then, good brother, where your music can be downloaded so that they can listen to it at their personal pleasure.
Oh, no problem. If you want to reach out to me, the best way is to go to my website, carlbphillips.com. You can book me through my website at carlbphillips.com. On social media, it's Carl B. Phillips on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Haven't got to Snapchat or TikTok yet. That's something maybe I'll do in the future. But I got enough passwords to remember. So Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. My music is available on all digital outlets, including Amazon, iTunes, Tidal, Pandora, Spotify, all the digital outlets you can get by. You can stream or download my music on all digital outlets.
Amen. Good brother. We appreciate you so much, man. My prayer for you, good brother, is that you will continue to stay faithful to God so that he can just pour out that great rain of blessing that you just got through singing about, and then be that light for somebody to see the Jesus in you. Thank you for joining us. We pray God bless you up, down, sideways, in and out, so that you can keep on running for Jesus.
Thank you so much for the opportunity, Brother Ron. I really thank God for you and what you're doing with Fire, the Gospel Experience. And we'll be praying for you as you pray for us.
Amen. I appreciate that, and I receive that. Carl B. Phillips was right here on Fire, the Gospel Experience. Y'all heard him, and we ain't through with him just yet. Amen. Oh, Lord Jesus. What, y'all thought we was through with that, good brother? No, we are still doing our thing with Carl B. Phillips right here on this Fire Gospel Experience. Don't you know that we need heaven's help? Yes, you already know that's true, because we are living in such perilous times. Things are taking place in such a multitude. It only confirms the prophetic word that Jesus told. He said wars, rumors of wars. When they ain't fighting, they loading up, and they spitting on the ground, mad, ready to fire at anything that moves. There'll be sickness, there'll be natural disasters in places that have never had these type of experiences before, and there will be an increase in these worldwide disasters, because if you read the scriptures, when Adam and Eve disobeyed, God said himself, the very ground is cursed because of your disobedience, and that curse is becoming more prevalent in the end times, with all of the earthquakes, fires, natural disasters, floods, tsunamis, mudslides, you name it, it's happening. So please, heaven, will you just please, with mercy, help us? Please, heaven, help us.
I'm Carl B. Phillips. We're facing some challenging times right now. From COVID-19 to injustices. My prayer today is that heaven will heal our land. We need heaven to help us all. Heaven help the child who never had a home. Heaven help the girl who walks the streets alone. Heaven help the roses if the bombs begin to fall. Heaven help us all. Help us all.
Heaven help the black man if he struggles one more day. Heaven help the white man if he turns back away. Heaven help the man who kicks the man who has to crawl. Heaven help us all.
because of coronavirus. When we can't be there for loved ones and they are dying. Heaven help me when I had COVID-19 myself. Heaven help me come from home. You did it for me, and I know that you can do it for somebody else. We're calling on you. We're calling on you. Help us to breathe. Help us to breathe.
We need you to help those families who lost loved ones to coronavirus and injustices. Heaven, we need you to help us all.
Hello, I am teacher, author, born-again believer, woman of God, Trina R. Ford. I am grateful to God Almighty who has called me to celebrate who He is in the highest. If you're in search of someone to speak life, love, and spiritual healing at your conference, seminar, or fellowship, you can contact me by phone at area code 870-329-3556 or by email at treford91@gmail.com. And if you're looking for great spiritual insight, inspiration, and uplift, I encourage you to read my newly released book, Just Breathe, The Testament of a Breast Cancer Survivor. You can order my book at Amazon.com, or for an autographed copy, you can order on Facebook, author Trina Ford, or contact me directly. And you are listening to Fire, the Gospel Experience, where the music is moving, unrestrained, and of biblical inspiration. Be a blessing to family and friends, and let the light of Jesus Christ shine bright as you encourage them to keep their radio tuned to Fire, the kingdom-building gospel experience.
I got it. Listen. Hallelujah. am Dr. Sheila Bunton, a.k.a. Dr. B. I am a public speaker, entrepreneur, author, philanthropist, biblical counselor at Total Restoration Ministries located in Richardson, Texas. And you are listening to Fire, the gospel experience where the fire is moving, uplifting and unrestrained experience of biblical inspiration and gospel music. I'm inviting you to follow me on Monday, Wednesdays, and Fridays for 101 with Dr. B at 12:30 Central Time, Facebook Live, as well as purchase a copy of my book, Do You Want to Be Made Whole? A Biblical Guide to Mastering Your Purpose. You can contact me via phone at 972-978-2137. God wants you to do all that you can to bring him glory, and I want that for you as well. There's a familiar song that says, I need you and you need me. You are important to me as well as I am important to you. Until then, keep it tuned in to Fire, the gospel experience, which will uplift your spirit and give you new strength. Be a blessing to your family, to your friends, and to your coworkers. And remember that as a child of God and accepting his grace, you are part of his community, and we have a responsibility one to another. Again, tune in to the fire on this station. It's all about kingdom building. God bless.
Yes, Lord, you best believe it's all about kingdom building. Sounds of Woman of God, Dr. Sheila B. Dr. Sheila Bunton. She broadcasts every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday right there on Facebook Live at 12:30 a.m. Central Standard Time. You want to get your spirit fed. You want to get a good spiritual uplift and insight from that woman of God. She is a blessing to the body of Christ. Tune in to Dr. Sheila Bunton Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 12 a.m. Central Standard Time, Facebook Live, and I promise you, you will be blessed. Amen. That's a guarantee. Goes right there. We are embracing for your spiritual uplift from the Word of God as we are being led. We are going to share with you from John 17 and 14, where the Word of God is very instructional. We are hearing the heart of our Lord and Savior Jesus speaking in a very, very intimate way. It says, John 17 and 14, I have given them our word. I have given them your word. Speak it to the Father. And the world has hated them, for they are not of the world any more than I am of the world. It always brings me great joy and reassurance, beloved, to hear and know that our Lord Jesus prayed for us. Yes, when our Lord Jesus prayed initially for his disciples, we as his future disciples were also among them as well. We were right there in the room because remember, we talk about eternal God. Yesterday, today, and tomorrow are all the same. We were right there in the mind of God. He prayed for us. We were in the very same place figuratively and in a spiritual reality as our Lord and Savior prayed. This very essential prayer was needed for them as much and possibly more so in our modern day time. Well, even the Bible declares in 2 Timothy 3 and 2, but mark this, there will be terrible times in the last days. Can anyone disagree with that? We're living in some of the most tumultuous, terrible times in human history. The Word of God continues. I have to go back to John 17 and 13 where our Lord says, I am coming to you now. But I say these things while I am still in the world so that they may have the full measure of joy within them. He's still speaking to our Heavenly Father. He says, Father God, I am praying that that full measure of joy be placed in their spirits because they're going to need it. And yes, we do. You know, we will find ourselves in temptation, circumstances, and confrontations from a hostile world that has gone mad with disbelief and unbelief. Simply not only refusing to accept God on his terms, but to attempt to totally obliterate from their so-called existence. But our great eternal God can't and will not be removed. He just buys time, since all time rests in his powerful hand, like he did the Egyptian Pharaoh, who flat out refused to let his people go, as our mighty God had requested. It's called giving someone enough rope to hang themselves. So our Lord Jesus prayed that we as his believers, followers, and his disciples, that our joy, hallelujah, indeed would remain. That the joy of the Lord is actually our strength during our difficult days. Verse 14 says, I have given them your word, and the world has hated them. For they are not of the world any more than I am of the world. So those who have willfully chosen to oppose the Almighty do so with the spirit of hate, which is demonic in its origin. So since the servant is not greater than their master, talking about our master, we understand. John 15 and 20 says, remember that I told you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, and they did, they will persecute you also, and they will. If they obey my teaching, they will obey yours also. So we face each day with the overpowering love from God that will quench all the fiery darts of hate from the devil and his pawns and his minions. Amen. Talking about in, but not of, on today's Fire Castle Experience Spiritual Uplift, because we have to be separate, but we can't be aloof. We can't be bougie. We can't be these boss divas like we're better than, because, thanks to God, we're not better than. We're just better off. Here's man of God, gospel loves Brian Poppin, letting you know, God is so good to me, I just can't hold it in.
One,
yeah.
Two.
just want to thank you, God, and give you our bestest, highest praise right here on this Fire Gospel Experience. And not just now, Lord. Oh, no, 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 no. We're going to do that every day that we breathe your precious breath of life. Thank you. Thank you, man of God, Brian Poppin, for sharing that testimony about God being so good. And before man of God Brian Poppin, we heard from woman of God Sherry London Warren singing about All I Got. Oh, it's just enough. I got Jesus by my side. I don't need nothing else. You know, we want a few things, but guess what? Once you get God, you got everything you need. We are embracing the thought in, but not of. We are going to continue where it says in the Word of God in John 17, verse 15, my prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. As we've seen, to always pray for the deliverance from testing, trials, and tribulation, we should reconsider perseverance as opposed to deliverance when we are called to go through our difficult days. When we are challenged with this world's oppression and opposition, we will honor God with our faithful, still standing, enduring as our Lord Jesus endured for us. Yes, it's a beautiful thing to be healed. Yes, it's a beautiful thing to be delivered. But it's also a beautiful thing that even if God don't heal, and even if God doesn't deliver, that we have the same committed, staunch faith as if we've been delivered, as if we've been healed. We don't waver to and fro in all directions with every wind of doctrine or let our emotions carry us away. We learn to grow in our faith and be settled in our faith regardless of the outcome because, beloved, the truth of it is we win. Victory is ours and heaven is our home. John, 1 John 4 and 4 says, you are of God, little children, and have overcome them because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. So yes, we jump and shout when people testify that God delivers, that the test is benign, that the doctors can't find it. But if they come to us in our last days and we still have that same fire of determination, of loving God regardless of the consequences, don't you know that speaks to people's hearts as well? They will know that we took our last breath committed to God and wasn't fearful to leave this earth because we've done all that we can do. And this will definitely be those times when we need our God to the most to show up and show out for us right on time when we're going through. But we go through with courage, beloved. We don't go through fearful, shaking as if those that have no hope. Verse 16 says, they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Do we fully understand that we are truly pilgrims passing through this barren land? The roots of disobedience from our foreparents, Adam and Eve, have been fully manifested through all the generations of mankind, even unto this day. The hostilities for God and his people are raging at an all-time high. Never in all the annals of human history has the attempt to remove God from our world and his proper place in all existence been to this degree of ultimate disrespect for Yahweh God. That's why our Lord Jesus prayed that we would not lose our Christ-likeness in this godless world. And then finally, verse 17 says, sanctify them by the truth. Your word is true. We have been called out to be sanctified and separated for God's divine purposes. That knowledge is the cause and reason for great joy itself, to know that the Almighty has given us this great privilege to be his earthly ambassadors. And then verse 18, as you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. Verse 19 says, for them I sanctify myself, that they too may be truly sanctified. So, as we go about our daily business of living our Christian lives and all that which entails our regular responsibility, may we fuse all that we have been given into our calling, vision and ministry to honor God. Hallelujah. As we shine bright in a world that needs us, but unfortunately fights against us. Amen. We're talking about in, but not of. That's right. We have to have that determined separation when it comes to living for God. Amen. So I'm praying that you be encouraged, saints of God. I'm praying that these words and this broadcast will take you to a higher place in your faith so that you can be about the business of letting God use you in miraculous ways. I'm talking about ways that you didn't even think was possible. Talking about gifts and callings in your spirit, man, woman, boy, and girl, that you didn't even know was there. God was allowing those difficult days and those tough times to just bring you to a point of endurance and spiritual maturity so that when the devil comes your way, guess what? You will not yield. You will not bow down like the three Hebrew boys. You will stand fast knowing that if God don't deliver me, I will not bow down because greater is he that's in you and I. Talking about Holy Spirit God, that eternal word that we will continue to stay faithful to God. Here's E. Daniels taking us to the garden where it all began, where our foreparents had everything they need. We have a spiritual garden that God is blessing us with right here on earth. And that garden is right inside your very soul.
A whisper in the wind, sound of your voice, seems like it's been so long. I miss that gentle breeze, laying by that special tree, telling me exactly how you feel. It's the garden, it's where I heard you first. The garden, where I learned to hear your voice. It was that special place where you transformed my space. The garden, oh how I miss the garden. And time is fast as by, there's an emptiness inside. And sin how I try to hide, kept me far away, not long for more of grace. I need to get back to that place. The garden is where I heard you first. The garden where I learned to hear your voice. It was that special place where you transformed my space. The garden, oh how I miss the garden. That secret place where I exposed to you my heart, and in return you shared with me all. Those quiet moments where I learned the art of silence, it taught me to wait patiently on you. Oh, how I miss the garden. hear your voice. It was that special place. Will you transform my face, the garden? Oh, I want me to go.
Hello, I'm Woman of God, Royal Diadem, a crown of splendor in the hands of the Lord, an anointed gospel artist who is called by God to celebrate who he is in the highest place. If you're in search of someone who would change the atmosphere with a spirit of great worship and praise for your concert, revival, seminar or fellowship, you can contact me by Twitter at royal_di04534918. Right now, you are listening to Fire, the number one gospel radio station, the gospel experience where the fire is moving, uplifting, with unrestrained experience of biblical inspiration through gospel music. I'd like to invite you right now to let the light of Jesus Christ shine brightly in your life. So by all means, keep it tuned to Fire, gospel radio station with DJ Ron Jefferson. The gospel experience will lift your spirit and give you strength. Come on now, be a blessing to your family and friends and co-workers by telling them about the number one gospel station, Fire. It's about kingdom building, for you know it's not God's wish for anyone to be lost, but rather all be saved.
Happiness is for all.
That's right. It is the joy of the Lord that keeps us moving in the right direction. Amen. It's the joy of the Lord that gives us that sanctified presence where we can be in the world, but not of the world. And that's what we're talking about today from John 17 and 14. Let us be mindful of who we are in Christ so that we can keep our sanctified position, because salt has no purpose and is no good if it has lost its savior. No one takes a candle and hides it under a bushel. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. So we're called to do great and mighty things, but it's only through the power of our Lord Jesus Almighty. I'm inviting all of you gifted speakers, encouragers, people that have a refreshing spiritual verbiage from God to share with us anointed words that's going to uplift God in his proper place, as well as moving our spirits to keep us motivated in a real religious, sanctified Christian way. Amen. So I've invited you all that are so busy with your schedules to send me that 3 to 5 minute inspirational word with your cell phone. A little soft music in the background makes it sound real heavenly. And then email that to ronaldjefferson1@aol.com, like woman of God Shanine Bonner is about to bless us with her recorded inspirational word of message, which she has entitled Presence. Because when you get in God, you don't have to worry about being in nobody else's presence. Amen.
Lord God, we come to you making a petition to heaven for your presence. Lord, we call on the Paracletos, your spirit that will never leave us, but will remain in your glorious presence. We call on the Ruach HaKodesh, the very breath of God right now to blow on us in your presence. Lord, we know according to Psalm 16 and 11, in your presence is the fullness of joy. So we declare joy now in the name of Jesus. Lord, we know that the joy of the Lord is our strength in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, we're asking for the rain to come and shower the blessings from heaven on us now. Lord, we declare your glory now to come and saturate us in your presence. Lord, we declare your glory to overtake our spirit. Lord, your presence comes in the name of Jesus to destroy in the name of Jesus and break every yoke. Your sweet presence bring healing, bring deliverance, and restoration in the name of Jesus. Your presence is like a sweet aroma of your glory. The word presence in Hebrew is panim, which means face to face. Lord, as we go before your presence, I declare that we meet you face to face. Your presence is like heaven invading earth. Your presence is like the heavenly treasures that we have to explore in the merciful name of Jesus. I declare and decree a heaven takeover now. I declare your presence to take over our lives. I decree a heavenly takeover to control our destiny. I declare a heavenly takeover to design in the name of Jesus our plan and purpose in order for us to reach our promise in you, God. I declare that we are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, and I'm declaring your promises in your presence. I'm declaring that you said that you never seen the righteous forsaken, nor your seed begging for bread in your presence. Lord, you declare riches in your presence. Lord, you declare hope in your presence. In the name of Jesus, now declare his presence. Now declare his presence. Now declare his presence. Now declare his presence in Jesus' name.
My Lord, my Lord. And that's what we talk about right here on this Fire Gospel Experience. Y'all send me that 3 to 5 minute word of inspiration on your cell phone. just like woman of God Shanine Bonner just did. And I promise you, you can be part of this anointed fire gospel experience, because we're going to keep on keeping on in the beautiful name of Jesus. Let me run some of this new music by y'all from woman of God, Olivia Walker. You, dear God, are the one that I already know will deliver. Hallelujah. Thank you for your deliverance, God. You did it again and again and again.
Thank you.
trying to figure it out, God had already worked that thing out. Thank you, woman of God. We appreciate you so much. Olivia Walker, he will deliver. Just letting us know God is still in the delivering business. Amen. Goes right there. You already know. Want to thank my special guest, man of God, Carl B. Phillips, homeboy, man of God from Detroit. Yes, sir. Still putting out great. I didn't say good. I didn't say excellent. I said great gospel music with all those talented saints of God over there in the Motor City. Thank you so much for joining me. Thank you so much, woman of God, Shanine Bonner, for giving us that recorded inspirational word and word up. You moved in our spirit. You fit right on time. You blessed us. You honored God. And we are better for it. So I want to thank each and every one of you that are tuned in to this fire gospel experience. And I want to leave you with this last inspirational word from my pastor, Pastor Derek Easter, who pastors the New Saint Hurricane Missionary Baptist Church right here in the beautiful, ever-growing, renewed Renaissance city of Pine Bluff, Arkansas. He says love is not meant for those who deserve it. Love is meant for those who need it. Amen. Goes right there. I'm going to leave you all with these gifted men of God talking about those men of God that are such a blessing. They are singing good gospel music. I promise you they are. They are coming from all the way down from Huntsville, Texas, talking about Joy of Huntsville. I can't find nobody like the Lord. So until next time, y'all be blessed in the Lord Jesus. I pray he keep you, cover you, and keep you moving forward and upward for his glory and for your reward. So in Jesus' name, y'all be blessed until next time. Love you in Jesus.
I can't find anybody here been saved? Talk about sanctified. Anybody here been changed? Anybody here been changed? I'm glad he picked me up. Things I used to do, I don't do no more. Places used to hang around, I don't go no more. Can I get a witness? Can I get a witness? Turn me around. Place my feet.
Should've been a monster. Should've been a monster.